Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Sutton. Thank you so very, very much for allowing me to be with you. And I've listened to a list of people that have preceded me, and I'm totally convinced you don't need me. You've had the tornado here, Jerry Wayne Dillon, and you've had Danny Hood, and you've had Jonathan Suber. There ain't nothing left. I feel like the guy playing Minnesota Fats. In the old movie, as I saw as a kid, The Hustler, he said, "You ain't left much." I liked old Minnesota. He leaned over and he said, "You left enough." And then he ran about 85 balls. You don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm just honored to be with you, and thank you very, very much for letting me be here. And I want you to just listen to me for a second. I'm going to start preaching. Yesterday is history, and therefore it is in the tomb. Tomorrow is mystery, and it is yet in the womb. But today is all you have. And it's in your hand. Yeah. I read a thought one time, and it said, into your hands, thank you, sir, into your hands will be delivered the exact results of your thought life. For as a man thinketh, so is he. You can't have bad thoughts and live a good life. You can't have mediocre thoughts and become a superior person. The sad part about people who are mediocre, if you don't remember anything else, remember this one. They're always at their best. No, you missed that. You're so good at boogalooing and jumping, but I want about talking in tongues, chewing and dancing at the same time. You don't want to be mediocre. Because the mediocre person is satisfied with nothing. The curse of Pentecost would simply be, well, I just want to get by and I just want to be saved. If all God wanted for you to do is be saved, once you talked in tongues, got baptized, he could have shot you in the head and take you on. You see, you got to start looking at yourself. I appreciate your dancing and your worship. It's phenomenal. It's inspired me. I'm going to go home and go crazy when I get home. But you just got to. You just got to understand. You got to look in the mirror and say, "Whoo, I'm a threat to hell." When I got up this morning and started praying in the motel, I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, let me give hell a bad day today." Now, I realize most Pentecostals, they just don't want to fall into sin and they don't want to do some dumb stuff. So they spend all the grace of God keeping themselves straight. So they got no power to challenge the enemy's territory and say, "Hey, get your hand off that stuff." You got to start committing yourself to he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless unto himself. If you yield yourself to God, his power and grace will keep you. I believe that. But you got to start seeing yourself as a real problem. I walk around sometimes and I go, "Hell, ain't you unhappy that I'm up today?" Now, you think I'm kidding you, but if you read the four Gospels, when Jesus came to town, hell said, "Uh-oh." See, hell didn't say nothing while they were playing that game out in the wilderness to see if he can prostitute the ministry and the call and the destiny of God in his life to have a few little trinkets and toys. And when he couldn't get him to trade worship for stuff, I'm going to try it again. I'm already talking. I don't need a text. I'm already talking. You know what hell was trying to do for 42 chapters in the book of Job? It's only 42 chapters. You know why hell attacked Job? Because hell thought if he could steal Job's stuff, he would shut his mouth. He said, if I can steal your health, and I can steal your wealth, and I can cause division in your home, I'm going to stop your talking. I'm going to stop your worship. I'm going to stop your praise. I just wonder who in the house tonight hell is saying, if I could get their stuff, I'd stop their song. Here's one guy, you can have my stuff, but you ain't taking my song. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to read in your hearing now, and I'm so honored to be with you. You make me want to preach the whole Bible. You know, the Bible said the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is processional. That is not just Jesus didn't have nothing to say. He said, here's how your enemy works. First he comes to steal, then to kill, then to destroy. He'll never destroy what you don't let him steal. He wants to steal your faith. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your expectation, because expectation is the birthplace for the miraculous. And if you'll expect God to do something, he'll do it. If you don't expect it, he won't do it. Last time I checked, only expectant women have babies. Hopeful ladies don't have nothing. Let me try it again. Last time I checked, only expectant churches have revival. Hopeful churches just have good church. Oh, glory. Thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me come. God bless you. I guess you're going to do this all night tonight again? Okay. Well, now tonight you ain't going to scare me. I'm coming right where you is. I want to read in your hearing from the book of Mark, chapter 5. And I don't know whether that sweet lady's here from the Italian restaurant. Man, they put so many groceries in me. I don't have to eat till Jesus comes. Man. Mark, chapter 5. When you got it, say we got it. I'm reading verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand upon her, that she may be healed. Okay? And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. I'm sure you've heard this preached a lot of times, but please don't finish my sermon till I do. I pastor people that when I read a text, they'll just kind of put their brain in park and go, oh, I've heard this. I want to jump up to the choir director and say, I've heard your choir sing the same dumb songs, but I act like I'm happy. Got to watch out. You're not a Pentecostal Epicurean like they were in Mars Hill. Just kind of always find something new that you can chew on. Ain't use what you got, but you want a new piece of shoe leather so you can chew on it. We got to be careful about that. Come on, preacher, move me. We don't come to church for the preacher to move us. We come to move God. And praise and worship and faith moves God. And if you can finish a church service and God got moved, you're going to have a good time. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Let me go a little further. Certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things and many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Why? Because it's the practice of medicine. You ask any serious doctor, he'll tell you right to your face, we can't fix nobody. We practice high, expensive maintenance. We'll give you pills, we'll give you shots, we'll give you therapy, but we can't give you delivery. I'm here to tell you, Jesus ain't never practiced nothing. You've never heard Jesus walk in and say, well, I'll see what I can do. You've never heard God ever say, well, I'll try. Yeah, go ahead. Try to create a galaxy. I don't know why people don't serve God all the time. Do you know anybody that could make a day? I know people who try to ruin my day, but I ain't never met anybody can make a day. I got a God who made this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. He made the sun go up. Woo! Stay with me. I'm going to go there in just a second. And when she heard that Jesus, she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Please notice the way it works in healing. She was convinced first. She talked first. Amen. She reached and stretched first. She felt last. Jesus, immediately knowing in him virtue was gone out, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Disciples said, everybody's bumping in. I'm going to paraphrase. Everybody's bumping into you, Lord. You're down here at the mall. Well, I mean, thousands of people are bumping. What do you mean, who touched me? Listen, kids, I know the difference between a bump and a touch. Said, I pass. I'm the shepherd of a great church, and I know people that bump into me and who touch me. I'm going to try it again. Need is not enough to get a miracle. Need just draws God's attention. Faith draws God's power. He looked around and said, you're done. The woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down and told all the truth. He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Lord, bless the preaching. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to have to move fast because I got to catch a plane. Now it doesn't leave till the morning, but I want to make sure I don't miss it. My subject tonight is really simple. God wants to change your present reality. I said, God wants to change your present reality. If you're sick, he wants you whole. If you're hurting, he wants you healed. If you're lost, he wants you found. If you're discouraged, he wants you encouraged. If you're picking low cotton, he wants you to find the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. If you don't have any direction, he wants to light up your life. He does not want to leave you the way you are. You can slow down. You can do what you want. I'm so used to that. I'm not used to people jumping up and down, Karen. I got to fight with them all the time. I want to make a statement. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember this statement. Determination. Determination. Determination is the ability to see past a challenge and not just stare at it. You see, every time your faith gets ready to work, reason jumps up and says, but. The facts jump up and say, but. Your feelings jump up and say, but. Your relative and your past and your family says, but. But God says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he that believeth on God, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He has promised to reward you if you get diligent about it. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I never understand people that aren't excited about church. Bunch of liars. We used to say as kids, liar, liar, pants on fire. Said, you're not lying. Said, well, I got a bunch of people I pastor. Maybe they ain't here people I pastor. Well, you know, preacher, I'm just not emotional. You lying dog. You're not emotional. You've had kids, ain't you? Did you do that while you was yawning? I don't want this rated X. I just want to let's get a real thing here. You're not emotional. Man, you get excited when they buy you a rifle to go hunting or a set of golf clubs to play ball. You get excited they give you a fishing rod to go fishing. If you get a brand new car and if it's a used car, you get excited. Come on, ladies. You get thrilled and excited to buy a new blouse, a new dress, a new skirt, a new pair of shoes. Don't tell me you're not emotional. What you are is you're choosy about what you want to get emotional over. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I'm going to get emotional. I'm going to shout around a little bit. Well, I've got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't tell me I don't going to get emotional. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Now listen to this. We got a lottery in Florida. Now, we don't play the lottery. Maybe you do, but we don't play it. But it's $69 million. Can you imagine this pukified concept of, I'm not emotional. Really? Suppose they called you tonight and said, because you're a Christian, you didn't buy a lottery ticket, but someone bought and put your name on. And they called your name out and said, Mrs. Sparhaber, do you have number 16528397526 3? Yes, I do. Well, your ticket was just turned in. You've just won $69 million at the Florida lottery. Now, don't you lie to me and say that when they told you that, you'll go, Well, praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Oh, glory. No, I don't want to be rude, but I think if you was in your underwear, your pajamas, and your bathrobe, your hair and rollers, got mud caked on your face, I think you'd be going, hey, what? Hey, 69. I won $69 million. I think you'd run down the street in your underwear. I think you'd joke and laugh with shaving cream on your face. And they called you and said, you just won a trip, all expense paid to Hawaii. I don't think you just sit there and stare. I think you'd jump up and down. I think you'd throw the dog out. I think you'd have a ball. Ladies and gentlemen, you've not won a trip to Hawaii. You have won a trip to New Jerusalem. Your name has been written on the Lamb's Book of Life. You're never going to die. You're never going to be lost. You're never going to be out without the love of God. My God, that's something to get excited about. Woo! Oh, glory. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. And if that didn't turn you on, how about this one? And God is on your side. And if God be for me, who can be against me? What can be against me? It doesn't matter who says what, who tries what, it will not prosper. I am in the hands of a God that will not let me go. Woo. Come on, would you say it with me? Nothing. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. That's all I need, baby. If nothing can separate me, then the devil's a liar. Then my relatives ain't telling the truth. Then my society's not telling the truth. My own feelings are not telling the truth. I may be down, but I'm not out. I may be in a struggle, but I'm still struggling. You got to start telling yourself, I will come out of this. I will. Oh, yes, I will. I will come out of this. I wish somebody just yell at the devil. Say, hey, devil.
Hey, devil.
What's the matter with you? You a fool?
What's the matter with you, fool?
You think I'm going to quit?
You're the biggest failure in the universe.
You backslid.
When there wasn't a devil. The Bible said Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covered. That means he was in charge of God's throne. He was the choir director. He was in charge of heavenly worship and praise. You ready for this? If this don't move you, just go to the movies right now. If this don't move you, here it is. Satan got fired for non-performance and you got his job. He ain't allowed to worship God. We are called to worship God. And your worship is what will change your reality. Woo!
Oh my God. Oh my God. If you don't remember anything I've said, please remember this. Perception is always greater than reality. It's always greater. It's not more right. It's not more factual. And it's not more powerful. It's just always greater. If you perceive you can't, you can't. If you perceive you can, you can. Listen, God gave Israel the promised land. He said, I'll give it to you. Here's the title deed for it. It's yours. But they perceived they couldn't take it because of walled cities and giants. Now their daddy had just broken the back of the greatest empire known to mankind with a suntan preacher talking to a bush and a magic stick. You don't need a lot of stuff to come out of your stuff. Don't you think God's got a sense of humor? He's going to send an ambassador from the kingdom of God to put on the greatest jailbreak recorded in human history. 3 billion slaves are coming out of jail in one night. And he's going to use a guy who's been backslid for 40 years. You better get off that trash. I'm not worthy. Ain't nobody worthy. God just accounts us worthy. Ain't nobody righteous. God just accounts us righteous. He imputes to us his righteousness. We're not righteous because we live good. We're righteous because he made us righteous. Don't let your perception of your past or your present become your prison house. You got to learn the difference between your position and your performance. See, we holy roller folks, we're so performance oriented. Don't watch this, don't drink that, don't smoke that, don't eat that, don't wear that, don't go there. Fine, ain't no problem. Don't do that stuff, no problem. But if you don't have a good day of performance, if you're not careful, your perception will prostitute your position. And now all of a sudden, you that who are a child of God, your adversary will say, how could you look at that? How could you have said that? How could you have done that and still claim to be saved? You're saved whether you did it or not. Well, it got wheat. Just sit the way you want, Alabama. But it's the truth anyway. You do not lose your position with God because you have a bad day. My daughter may get in trouble with the police. She's still my daughter. My daughter may make a mistake and get spaced out on drugs. I'll go help her and bring her back. She's still my girl. You got to hear me. You don't lose your sonship. You don't lose your position with God just because you had a bad day. That's what the preacher said. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our mistakes doesn't make God put us up for adoption. Am I talking good yet? I hate to ask you to sit down, but you can sit down if you'd like to. You won't hurt my feelings any. Yeah. No? Fine. Let me show you what I'm talking about. And we got a better covenant than Abraham and the boys had. Now watch this. I'll tell you about the power of position that preempts performance. Now, Reverend, I'm not trying to say we live like a bunch of sleazebags and whoremongers and liars and cheats and a bunch of stupid stuff. No, we'll pay a price. There is a law of the harvest. You will reap what you sow. God may forgive you, but you're going to have a harvest that you wish to God you never had. Oh, yeah, David ended up in the sack with somebody else's wife, got her pregnant, murdered him, and played the hypocrite for a year. God finally came in and sent a preacher and said, "You're the man." God forgave him instantly, but he reaped the next 20 years of his life. His own daughter got raped. His son became a murderer. The other son usurped him. The other son did all kinds of stupid stuff. You do not want to give yourself consequences from the law of harvest, sowing and reaping. That's one of the reasons why we choose not to do certain things, because we don't want that harvest. Secondly, we choose not to do certain things because we've learned from the Word that some things please God. And this issue is not about us just being saved any more than it is an issue of us men just being married. Now, you men, just look straight ahead. Don't blow your cover. Just act like I'm talking to the wall. But I happen to know men that hold up their certificate and say, "Bless God, we're married. She gonna obey me. She gonna do what I say. This is my house, and I'm the king of my castle." Go ahead, fool. You're gonna be lonely on the couch after a while. You're gonna find out that macho Three Musketeers trap ain't gonna go on very much longer. Now you're not hearing me. See, there's one thing to be legally married. It's another thing to be happily married. And that doesn't make you a little wussy or a Mr. Milquetoast. It just makes you a smart boy. Well, let me try it again. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You can throw your weight around all you want to. There's some things you do as a married man because, wait a minute, you're trying to please the gal that you love. You're not trying to earn favors. You're trying to please the gal that you love. There's certain things that she doesn't like, and you do this macho stuff. Oh, I've done it the first few years of my marriage. Oh, big bad, what you talking about? My house, woman, what you talking? I'll come in here. She turned around and say, "Jeffrey, when you come in here, would you please take off your sneakers? I just waxed the floor." I said, "I paid for that floor. I'd put smudges on it if I want to." Well, I showed her I was in charge. Woo! And the south wind blew cold. And communication got disrupted. That's how I finally realized, the girl works hard on the floor, and she's trying to make the place look good, and I'm acting stupid. I'll just take my dumb sneakers off and keep them out there. Now, you can call me a wussy if you want to, but I'm a smart man. I'd rather be kissed and hugged than stared at. I didn't marry her to have an Amway meeting. I married her to lovey-dovey. I'll tell you something else. When I get off this plane tomorrow, I ain't getting a handshake. I'll shake hands with you, and that's it, buddy. But when I go home, I'm hugging and the kissing and the loving, and that's my business. I paid the finance. I do what I want. You're my fuck. Now, you see, you think I'm being crazy. That's the whole issue about church. We do certain things not because the preacher said we ought to, but because we love him who loves us. And we learn that some things please him, and so we try not to do the things that displease him. Why would you deliberately displease somebody that loves you so much? Why would you dare take a position and say, "I don't give a flip what you like"? That's the dumbest thing you could ever do. Boy, I was preaching so good a minute ago. I'm talking about the power of perception and your position. Watch what I lost my thought. And Abraham, watch, Abraham, this great father of the faith, this Abraham guy, gets afraid that they might bump him off because his wife is a fox. I mean, she's a good-looking babe. And he turns around and says, "We get down here, they're going to see me and see you, and they're going to bump me off because you're a fine-looking babe. Why don't we just come up with some shenanigans so you can spare my little coward hide?" I wonder what Sarah thought when mighty man of faith wants me to save him. And then Abimelech goes out and sees her. And the Bible says Abimelech takes her away and takes her into his harem so she can become a plaything later. I wonder what kind of look Sarah gave to him when she left. Now wait, I'm going to show you something. This is powerful. So he's lied. He's a chicken. He's full of fear. He's worried. He's a coward. And he shamed his own wife. You ready? And God steps into the situation and never talks to him. He gives Abimelech a dream. Watch out, you Pentecostals that say God only talks to Pentecostals. Cornelius had angels flying in his living room, didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Nebuchadnezzar was a mongrel, and he had all kinds of visions and dreams. You got to watch out who you say can have and can't have. And God comes to Abimelech and says, thou art a dead man. He says, well, what did I do? He says, you got a man's wife in your harem. Watch this little wussy fire. And the innocent of my heart, I've done this. Didn't he say that was my sister? Didn't she say that was my brother? Poor me, I was deceived. And God just looks at him and says, yeah, I heard what he said. Nevertheless, watch this. This is what turns my motor on. God turns around. Because the Bible said because he kept Sarah in the harem, he shut up all the women's bodies so they could never produce children. That means he was there a long time. He wasn't overnight. It might have been months or a year or two. Because he was there, no children were being born to Abimelech's whole kingdom. Now watch what God says to Abimelech. Hey, you know that guy that lied to you and deceived you and shamed his wife and acted like a coward and a cheat? Yeah, I know him. I want him to pray for you. Now here it is. I'll fix it to go right now. He says, for he is a prophet. No, you just missed it. We would have said, well, he used to preach for us. He used to be a prophet. He used to be a man of God. She used to be a woman of God. But oh no, God turned around and said, his performance is pathetic, but it did not violate or invalidate his position. His position remains the same, even though he has not done like he ought to do. He is a prophet. Do not let your performance invalidate your perception about your position. You're still his beloved. You're still his body. You're still his house. You're still his temple. You're still his building. You're still his bride. Could I help somebody right now? Does anybody in the house need a miracle? Let me show you how to get one. This is one of the easiest ways to get a miracle. If you read this, Genesis 17, 18, 19, you read this. He goes to Genesis 21 with Abimelech. The Bible said that Abraham came up and laid hands on Abimelech and prayed God to bless him. And then God opened all the wombs of the women in his kingdom and they produced babies. Now, wait a minute. This is what's powerful. You can sow the seed to your own next miracle because he had been promised by God for almost 25 years that Sarah was going to have a baby and she never could get pregnant. So he turns around and prays for somebody else over something that he's suffering from. And when God healed those women, the very next verse says, and the Lord visited Sarah and she was with child. If you got a hurt back, find somebody that's got a hurt back. If you got hurt feelings, pray for somebody that's got hurt feelings. If you got a pain in your neck or a bad leg or a bad kidney, or if you got diabetes, find somebody that's got diabetes and pray the prayer of faith over them and see if the seed of healing does not come back to you. I said, God wants to change your reality. Hear me. Every great accomplishment at first always appears impossible, whether it's the Red Sea, the Jordan River, the Jericho walls. Never, can't, impossible, or it's never been this way before, are words that inspire high performers. When high performers are told, no, impossible, can't, never happened before, those words inspire those people to close the gap between what is and what can be. When your adversary or your life shouts at you and says, it can't happen. You got prayed for before and you didn't get fixed. You got prayed for five times and you didn't get fixed. That's the time to turn around and say, yeah, I'm fixing to get prayed for again. Because you never know when God might just step in where I am and lay his holy hand on me and curse that thing and cause it to disappear. I read a story about a man named Wilbur Wright, and he made this statement. I am afflicted with the belief that man somehow can fly. His addiction to his affliction has altered the lives of millions. What are you addicted to? Are you a prisoner of the past? Are you being held hostage by the present? Or are you a prisoner of hope that says, I can do all things? I'm telling you, do not let tonight the usual steal from you the unusual. Do not let the natural steal from you the supernatural. Do not let the visible steal from you the invisible, or the material from the immaterial. Because God is a moment away from giving you a deliverance. Can you hear me? If you don't remember anything, remember this. When you get ready to act, you must act out of expectation and not out of understanding. That's why the Lord told the prophet Elisha, fill this valley full of ditches. You will not hear the wind. You will not see the rain, but I'll fill the ditches. Do not dig with your understanding. Dig with your expectation. If I've said it, I'm going to bring it to pass. If I promised, it's going to happen. Your understanding is not needed. Your obedience and your faith and your expectation, that is what releases God. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, destroy. I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. There it is. I've come to change your reality. I've come to alter your situation. I've come to stop what's bad in your life and give you what's good in your life. It doesn't matter how perilous you've been, how horrible you've been. It doesn't matter how many times. I don't care if you shot the president, held up the bank, and blew up your neighbor's house. It doesn't matter. You can start over. You can start afresh. You can get a new leaf of life. You can write a new page in your life. God is here to change what is to what can be. Listen, I guess I'm just going to keep talking while you're standing. Okay, fine. Listen, because God wants to change your reality, here it is. That is why Satan shows you what is so he can steal from you what can be. God, get ready to change your situation. And before he ever gets to change it, your adversary throws this up and he throws that up and he tells you about this and he shows you about that. That's why the Bible said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. You got to take care of your thinking. You got to take care of these pictures. When your adversary shows you a picture that it ain't going to work. You said that devil is a liar. Don't tell me it ain't going to work. If God said it, it's going to work. If the word promised it, it's going to work. I got to believe that God wants to change my reality. Because it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I almost wish I had a couple of hundred shovels. I'd like to throw them out here right now. And just everybody stop preaching with me instead. And just. What you doing? I'm digging ditches. What you digging ditches for? Water's coming. Where's it coming from? Don't know. What time's it getting here? Don't know. Is it going to rain? Don't think so. Is there a cyclone or a tornado or a hurricane coming? Don't think so. Ain't you kind of crazy? Yeah, but I'm also convinced. What may look like I'm nuts. Well, I'm going to take a minute. I think I'm going to dig a little while. Yeah, it gets hot. Yeah, it gets sweaty. Yeah, it looks like you're crazy. Yeah, everybody thinks you've lost your mind. But the Bible said all of a sudden, here come the water. God busted it from a place that he didn't even know where it's coming from. God's got an answer for your situation and can bring it to you from the place you least expect it. Oh, is that digging the ditches bothering you? Is that too physical? Okay, girls, I heard you up here doing all your wonderful singing. Let's do it this way then. You don't want to dig ditches? I'll make it easier for you. When they were in the desert and Israel was dying of thirst and there was a drought, the Bible said the word of the Lord came to the prophet Moses, and Moses told the people, he said, gather all the elders and the leaders from the tribes of Israel, take them out in the desert and tell them, sing to the desert. You thought that digging ditch was bad. You wait to get out in the middle of the desert and start singing. He even told them what to say. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. What well? The one I can't see. The one I don't know where it is. I'm gonna talk to stuff that looks like it's not listening to me. I'm gonna deal with stuff that looks like it's laughing at me until finally the water begins to spring up. You gotta learn to talk to stuff looks like it ain't listening. Now, why are you looking at me like I'm on drugs? Last time I checked, you're claiming to be a Christian. You know what that means? That means you guys are following a man who talked to a tree.
That's right.
But you missed the best part of the story. The tree heard him.
Yeah.
And the tree obeyed him. I don't want to mess with your Alabama mind, but listen to me. Don't you just think, just maybe, somehow, that when Jesus spoke to that fig tree in Matthew 21 and nothing happened, that his crew said, uh-oh. Boy, the boss blew this one. Man, the other day he spoke to that dead man. He got up right now. He spoke to those blind people and they went and got healed. He spoke to lepers and they got cleansed. He spoke to the sea and it went to sleep. He spoke to this tree and it doesn't look like nothing happened. Watch. Until the next morning. And when they came back the next morning, when he came in from Bethany to go to this, all of a sudden the fig tree was dried up. Watch. From the roots. We keep checking the leaves to see if it's worked yet. You ain't got to check the leaves. He always talks to the source of the thing. It'll die beneath the surface. If you got a cancer, you can speak to that cancer, that tumor, that polyp, that nodule, that growth, and you can speak to it. Don't check your flesh. You just believe something's happening on the inside because miracles always start where you can't see them, and if you keep praising God for them, they'll manifest themselves where you can see them. Now you think I'm crazy. The man that talked to the tree, he turned around in the same passage, Matthew 21, turns around and says, hey, you like what I did with the tree? I'll tell you what you do. I'm going to give you an assignment. From now on, you talk to the mountain. He said, if I can dry up the tree, I'm going to anoint you and you can dry up the mountain. Watch, he says, if you believe and doubt not. I always hate that, and doubt not, because that's where my name is, and doubt not. I believe, but I find doubt coming up. Could I tell you, you want me to teach? Let me tell you the difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt means you're unsure. Unbelief means you choose not to believe. That's why Revelation 21, 7 and 8 said, the first people that go into the lake of fire, not whoremongers, not queers and fags and twinkies and murderers and rapers and child molesters. They don't go first. The first people that go into the lake of fire is unbelievers. Because unbelievers, it's not that, say, well, I'm not sure. No, no. Doubt is when you're not sure. Unbelief is when you use your will and you say, I choose not to believe it. That's why he upbraided most of those cities where he'd done his great work because of their, not doubt, because of their unbelief. They will not to believe. Hey, there ain't no way in God's green earth anybody in this house can be lost if you will to be saved. Your will is stronger than any devil. Your will is stronger than any sin. Your will is stronger than anybody's opinion of what you are. Your will is so powerful that even God himself will not override it. I'm telling you right now, in the fear of God, you're looking at somebody, it's totally impossible for me to be lost. Now, you can let that offend you all you want to. Ain't no way I can be lost. I'm one guy that believes in eternal security, not Baptist way, Bible way. Eternal security, what? I'll keep myself in the love of God, and the love of God will keep me. I ain't going to waste my time trying to keep myself saved. I got a baptism of the Holy Ghost will keep me saved. What I got to do is make sure I keep my attitude straight. Keep a humble spirit. Walk softly with God. And nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. Nothing's going to divorce me from my deity. Nothing's going to take me out. And that's what ought to make you shout. That's what ought to make you get a little light-footed. Why? He said, I win. I mean, the next time a hell punches you right in the face and knocks you down and you wipe the blood off your lip and straight out your nose, just go, is that your best shot? Is that it? You mean you've given me your best shot? You think I'm afraid of you, dirtbag, because you got a bag of tricks? You couldn't keep my leader dead. I mean, what kind of sissified, wussified guy are you? You got him bumped off, hung him on a tree, beat him half to death, threw him in the pit, and in 3 days with you and the boulder and the centurions and the Roman signature and all the imps of hell, hell's prince couldn't keep heaven's king. Said, because behind that stone was the Rock of Ages. Behind that stone was Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and the Morning Star, the Root and the Offspring of David, he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I got the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and I'll give to anybody that's athirst the drink of the waters of life. I'm going to try it again. And he's on your side. It ain't because we're bad. It's because he's bad and we're bought. You got to look at yourself and say, I'm God's stuff. I'm God's clay. I'm God's duff. I'm God's raw material. Can I talk a few minutes? Don't you think that hell's got an attitude? Listen, you girls, all you folks, I commend you. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I wish I had a video to take it home. This is the boogaloo in this church I've ever seen in my life. I ain't never seen it. Don't you think hell's having a fit over you doing all that? You know why? I told you. He's the former employee, got fired for non-profit. But you know what really ticks him off? Is there anybody besides me that ever got fired? Now, if you don't like the word fired, let go, if that makes you look better. That you ever lost your job and got fired? Could you put your hand up? Now, is that a cruddy feeling? Is that a lousy feeling? Is that a degrading feeling? You know what's worse than getting fired? I'm fixing to have a fit right now. Get replaced by somebody who's inferior. He was the wisdom of God. He was the highest creation of heaven. He was the most bejeweled and most beautiful, most fabulous worship. He was a mobile music machine. He had horns and tabourets, and he had gorgeous ornaments all over him. And when God fired him and threw him down, God said, you know what I'm going to replace you with? Dust.
I'm not going to replace you with great folks and mighty folks and wonderful folks. I'll replace you with drunks and liars and whoremongers and cheats and divorced people and messed up people. And I'll show you that my grace is greater than disgrace. I'll show you that my power can take somebody that's near nothing and make them greater than you. That's why he hates your worship.
Lord, have mercy. Now, let me just try it again, okay? Beans, you ain't sitting down. That's why I said it before. I'm going to say it again. That's why Satan shows you what is to steal from you what can be. He'll show you the giants, the walled cities. He'll show you a Lazarus who's dead 4 days. Now, I've never heard anybody in Pentecost preach this, and yet I know I'm right. You ready? The miracle of Lazarus isn't that Lazarus got up. The miracle is that he got the right Lazarus. According to Bible history, there were thousands of people dead in the days of Jesus who were named Lazarus. The tombs and the graves were full of thousands of dead Lazarus. But God is so specific and exact and perfect. When he stood outside that four dead old grave and said, Lazarus! That voice went through the land of the living into the land of the doomed and the lost and the dark and the other side of the world. And you can see that spirit voice so full of power and authority because he was the creator in clay. He was deity in disguise. He was the master looking like a man. And that voice went by and said, all these Lazarus said, not you, not you, nope, not you, not you, not you, not you. You. And all of a sudden, went over and grabbed that right Lazarus. He wants you. Do you know that you didn't come here just because you wanted to come here? God bypassed your neighbor, bypassed your friend, bypassed this person, said, not you, not you, not you. I'll take you. I'll take you. I want you. For no man can come to God except the Spirit of God. Draw them. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. You have a destiny. You have a destiny. Don't get discouraged. Your destiny is greater than your mistake. I'm going to preach a few more minutes. Don't you get it? You gotta pray and praise and work and talk and act in expectation. You can't do it with understanding. I don't mean to use a rude term, but understanding will spiritually rape you and molest you and steal from every bit of your faith. Understanding will. That's why it's very dangerous to sit next to people in church who are critical and who reason stuff. Well, I just don't see it. Put your finger up and get on down the row and get away from him or her, because that's what happened. Remember the prophet Elisha in the book of 2 Kings in Samaria when they had that drought going on and that famine and the besieging of the city and they were eating their own children, cannibalizing people, and all of a sudden here the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, says, about this time tomorrow, oh, I wish I had some time. I wish you could get it in your soul right now. You need to look at your next test and say, about this time tomorrow. No, I said about this time tomorrow. I said there's an answer coming to me about this time tomorrow. The prophet said about this time tomorrow. The Lord's going to give you a miracle, and wheat's going to sell for so much, and bread's going to be for so much. And here come this nincompoop that had more degrees than a thermometer sitting by the door, turning around saying, if God would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? Reason, 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 reason rages at faith. Facts rage at faith. But boy, the prophet didn't cut him no slack. He turned around and said, you're going to see it, but you ain't going to eat it. God's not laughing at your reason. The stuff that comes from God comes by faith. You can't explain it. You can't understand it. But you can't act on it. And you can't believe it. It's your faith
that matters to God, not your understanding.
Can I preach a few more minutes? Why don't you sit down? You're going to get tired. You want to stand up? Okay. Now watch. God, watch how little God thinks about human reasoning. Ezekiel 37. Son of man, I see you're in a cemetery here. Yeah. Lots of dead stuff here. Yeah. Watch what he says. Can these bones live? Now watch this great Holy Ghost anointed preacher. Lord, you know. It's almost like God says, of course I know, stupid, I'm God. I guess I do know. This ain't a question about whether I know. That's like a student being asked a question by a teacher, and then he turns around and tells the teacher, well, you know. So I guess I know, I'm the teacher. I'm not interested if I know. I want to know, do you know? Can these bones live? You know why he said, thou knowest? Because he was looking with the eyes of understanding. How can many bones, dry, extremely dry, laying all over the place, watch, God was asking him to believe for something that had never happened before and he had never seen before. I feel that in this house right now. God may be asking you to believe for something you've never experienced before, you've never heard about before, you've never seen before. God may be wanting you to write a little history tonight. I'm so tired of these Pentecostal nincompoops who are always fussing with you, turn around and say, I need scripture and verse. You ought to have scripture and verse. I said, shut up, fool. You're dumber than you look. You don't need scripture and verse for God to do something. He said, oh, yeah, I do. I said, okay, give me scripture and verse how Moses opened a Red Sea. Come on, let's hear it. We'll hold that miracle hostage while you find scripture. And what about the scripture when he turned around and opened the Jordan River? And what about the scripture for the Jericho walls falling down? Don't tell me God can't write some. Don't you understand, folks? God is bigger than his book. His book is just a revelation of what he's done. His book is just a premise that you can trust. God will not violate his book, but God can do stuff that's beyond his book. Don't be held hostage by these stupid people and their reasoning and said, well, it ain't never done before. Right. Son of man, can the bones live? Lord, thou knowest. So watch what God turns around. He's going to mess with his reason. He said, hey, speak to the bones. Speak to him. Hear the word of the Lord, O you bones. And the Bible said, while the word of the Lord hit these bones, they came together. Because the word, listen to me carefully, because the word will bring you improvement. Listen to careful. I don't want to hurt your feelings. You ready, Brother Carr? The word will improve your life, but it will not give you life. You need the spirit of the word to give you life. Hey, there wasn't nobody anywhere, no place, no how, had ever seen more miracles than the disciples, had ever had more word than the disciples. And yet Jesus said, that ain't enough. Go to Jerusalem, tarry until the power of the Holy Ghost comes on you. Because you need the spirit of the word and not just the word. So the Bible said the bones came together and there was an improvement. Now most preachers would have built a church on that and said, whoa, better than it used to be. Then the Lord turned around and said, now prophesy to the wind. Now watch this. Oh God, I'm wound up here. You gotta get this. He turned around and said, well, you were pretty good at talking to the stuff you could see. Now talk to stuff you can't see. See, I'd like to know, you Alabama theologians, exactly what direction did he look in to try to find the wind? You know what he turned around? He said, speak into the heavens and see if life will not come from above. And he prophesied, let the spirit of life enter into these bones. And all of a sudden there came a wind and those bones stood up and they were an exceeding great army. And Ezekiel said, good golly, Miss Molly, I've never seen nothing like that. God says, I got more stuff to show you, pal, if you're willing to get rid of your understanding and just believe me.
See, the word of God does not prove God's will. The miraculous and the supernatural prove the word. See, you can tell people all day long, you believe this, you believe that, you believe this. But the world's turning around saying, okay, show me. Can you imagine me coming up to you right now in this wonderful church and say, hey, I represent the handy dandy whiz bang, you can't hardly believe it, super fantastic, abundant, unbelievable, whizzy vacuum cleaner company. And it's so powerful, it runs on battery or electric. And it's so awesome, you have to sign this piece of paper. You cannot let the pets or the kids be in the house. It'll suck them right up and they'll never come back. It is so powerful. It makes the carpet stand up 6 inches, dyes everything, makes it permapress. You won't have to do it for another 6 weeks. Really? And then I turn around and say, I wish I could give you a demonstration. Here, just read this brochure and buy one. No, okay, you didn't get it. Let me try a worse one than that. Hi, my name is Jeff Arnold. I represent Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He got killed. He got resurrected. He's in heaven. He's doing all this nifty stuff he used to do. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He raises the dead. He makes crooked feet straight. He opens deaf ears. He does all these super miraculous things. I wish I could give you a demonstration, but I got to go. Send to headquarters and get a 12-page brochure, and it'll tell you how to do it. You turn around and tell somebody Jesus fixes and Jesus heals and Jesus, they'll just turn around and say, okay, baby, just lay your hand on my head right now. If he does all that stuff, I'm waiting. Let's go. Why are you afraid to try? Why are you afraid to lay your hands on the sick? Why are you letting the devil lie to you and say, well, suppose it doesn't work? I'd like to answer that. Well, suppose it does. I'm going to go a little further. You can't heal nobody. You can't give nobody the Holy Ghost. But you can pray. You can obey God. You can expect Jesus to keep his word. I told our church, I'm going to try to close. It's 10 minutes tonight. I told our church back home. I said, I'll tell you what, folks. Every time I pray for somebody and God doesn't heal them, and every time I pray for them and God heals them. I promise when God heals them, I'll take no credit. That's right. Wait a minute, let me flip the coin. And if he doesn't heal them, I take no blame. Right. Well, if I don't take the credit and I don't take the blame, next. When I pray for folks and they get the Holy Ghost, to God be the glory. When I pray for them and they don't get the Holy Ghost, I couldn't give them the Holy Ghost anyway. It wasn't my problem. It wasn't my fault. I'm just an instrument. I'm just a vehicle. But I'm here to tell you, if you won't try, God won't do it. God is not going to do anything outside the body of Christ. The body of Christ becomes his manifester of the kingdom. See how quiet it got just now?
Hey, me. Yes, you. If God don't have you, just who else is he going to work through?
You're not. Where's the preacher? Are you ready for this? God, let me have this. I've never seen it, didn't steal it. God, let me have it. He said, Jeffrey, do you understand that when the man Jesus stepped on that cloud and took it north, that you became his replacement body? No, that was too weak. You don't get it yet. The Bible said you are the body of Christ. You are the building of God. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are Jesus' replacement body. What you got to do is believe. Listen to me, and I'm going to try to close. What Jesus said, I can prove to you by the scripture that according to John 14, Jesus went on record and said, I've never healed anybody that's sick. I've never opened a blinded eye or unstopped a deaf ear. I've never cleansed a leper. Not one time. He said, oh, I saw you do all this stuff. No. He said, think not. For the Son can of himself do nothing. It is my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Don't you wish you had the Father in you? Brother Carr, if you and I got the Holy Ghost, we got the nature of God in us. Can I say it real kindly?
You know what you are? If you have the Holy Ghost, you are pregnant with God's DNA. Don't you get it? Don't you understand what miracles are? Miracles are simply God acting like himself. It's like God saying amen to his own word. See how quiet it got? I made you nervous right now. Oh my, what's he going to make us do? I'm not going to make you do nothing. I'm just telling you right. What's your name, little girl? Kim. I got a Kim in my church. Kim, when I go to lay my hands on you, I can't fix nothing. I can't fix nothing. But I have the Holy Ghost in me. And if I can pray for Kimberly, whatever she has need of, whatever's going on, and I'll believe it and she'll believe it, the Father who dwells in us will do the work. If he doesn't do the work, then he's not the same. Mark 16 and verse 20 says, and they went everywhere preaching Christ. Watch. And God working with them. Here it is. Confirming his word with signs following. They couldn't heal nobody. Jesus turned around and said, the Son can of himself do nothing. What he sees the Father do, that he does. What he hears the Father say, that he speaks. That's not two deities. That's not God the Son talking to God the Father. That's stupid. It's deity and flesh in union. Don't you get it? Your adversary, the devil, can have no power over your life until you agree with him. Well, let's flip the coin. And your God can have no power in your life to accomplish his will until you agree with it. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So God wants to change your reality. I just prayed for a little baby 5, 10, 15 times. Died. Feel bad? Yep. You know what happened? Nope. What'd you do? Next. Pray for a lady 24 years, been with me. Got cancer. God healed her up. A husband who had a dirty, rotten, filthy attitude, mad about everything. Cancer just came back, died. What'd you do? Next. Pray for this guy, 95% deaf. I'm yelling at him, and I said, if God heals you, would you serve him? He looks at me like a dead monkey, just like, I'm screaming at him, if God heals you, would you serve him? Yes. And he goes, yes, I would. Yes, I serve him. I said, come here. And I put my fingers in his ears. And I said, now, Jesus, I couldn't heal a headache on a dead fly. I said, but you know what's wrong with this guy's eardrums. And I'm going to tell you right now, the fear of God, hey, God don't make no people sick. God don't give people diabetes and cancer so they can learn how good he is. That's a lie from hell. How many of you parents would give your children muscular dystrophy or polio so they can learn how much you love him? Come on. How many of you would give your children asthma or pancreatic cancer or poison of the liver so they can learn how much you love him? Give me a break. God gives you the Holy Ghost so you know how much he loves you. I looked at this guy and I put my fingers in his ears. You can call Brother Tom Foster. It just happened at his church. I put my finger in his ears. I said, now, Jesus, I curse this deafness and I command it to stop. You know why? Because I have a standard to pray by. And when you pray, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here it is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Here it is. In earth as it is in heaven. So if you can find deaf people in heaven, you stay deaf. If you find any diabetes in heaven, keep your diabetes. If you find anybody with scoliosis in heaven, keep your scoliosis. But if it's not allowed there, you have a right to insist it not be allowed right here. Okay, I'm finishing. I don't mean to embarrass you, son. I stuck my fingers in his ears. I said, now, Jesus, I command these things to be open. I bind the spirit of deafness, and I loose the spirit of hearing. Jesus' name. And I leaned over to, I didn't feel nothing. See, that's 30 years. I've been preaching 32 years. 30 years I've been held hostage waiting to feel. the last 2 years, God dealt with me and said to me, what do you need to feel something for? You ain't sick. You know why? I want to feel something so it protects my image. Once you're willing to lose your image, I put my fingers and I said, in Jesus' name, be open. You called Brother Foster tonight and asked him. I leaned over and I said to him, can you hear me? He said, yeah, I can hear you. I leaned over and I said, can you hear me? He said, man, that was great, preacher. Thank you very much. Well, then the spirit of the gift of faith started to move in the house, and there was a girl on the back row, and while I kept preaching, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you'll have the people stand, I heal every spine in the house, every problem with arthritis and rheumatism, every hip, every bone dysfunction. Scared the fire out of me. I never do stuff like that, but it came to me. I told everybody to stand up. I said, the Lord just spoke to me. Everybody's got any problems with your spine, your neck, your vertebrae, your disjointed hips, whatever. If you'll throw your hands up and believe God, when I pray, God will heal you instantly. Man, they so help me God, I thought I was watching Benny Hinn. Have you been in Foster's church? His church is 100 feet past your building. And his platform is up this high. And I put my hand out and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I curse this stuff and command. And people started falling down all over the building. I said, what is going on here, man? Well, here's this little girl. I'm sorry to bother you with it. Here's this little girl in the back row. She's standing like this. She's 18 years old. She has the most severe case, Tom Foster says, of scoliosis. She walks like this. And she was on the back row. And when I said, throw your hands up, and God will heal you right now. She threw her hands up in the back. And when she did, she jumped straight up in the air and told Brother Foster, when he prayed, a hand slapped me in the back. And my spine went. And she jumped all over the building. You got to make room for God. You got to expect God to help you. It's not what you feel. It's what you expect God to do. Okay, let's see. Let's see if Jesus is alive. I need somebody right now, or a bunch of you. Anybody in the house? You ain't even got to come up here. If you have pain in your body, I don't care whether you got a headache, bad neck, your foot's hurting you, your elbow's hurting you, I don't care what it is. If you have pain in your body, I don't mean you have some kind of ongoing affliction or ailment. I'm just talking about pain. And you would be honest enough and know right now that when you got prayed for, if God in his sovereign mercy would touch you and the pain would either diminish or disappear, you would be honest enough to say, it's better. I want you to put your hand up. Now, you can just stay where you are, or you can come up. It doesn't matter to me. Now, I'm serious as a heart attack. Because I very seldom ever lay hands on people, because I don't like this, I got gifts and you ain't got gifts. I'll tell you right now, Brother Carr, I ain't got no gifts. I can't read your zip code. I don't know what Freddie Clark and Morton Buster and the rest of the boys do. I ain't got no gifts. But I know that God has told me, if you'll start making room for me, I'll show you how easy it is to heal the sick. You've got to believe it is the will of God for the sick to be well. You cannot. If you say you don't believe the sick should be well, why do you take medicine? You're trying to get well, but you just said you don't believe it's God's will for you to be well. Why do you go to the hospital? Why do you go to the doctor if you don't believe it's God's will? Of course you believe. It's innate in us. Even if you cut your finger, your own body, without you doing anything, will try to heal itself because God's made us that way. Doesn't it bother you that Jesus was never sick? And he never met a disease that he would like? And he said, I do always those things which please my Father. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, now, is anybody in the house Now, wait a minute. Who's the people that's got the pain? Okay. Now, keep your hands up. Is there anybody in the house besides me that has the Holy Ghost? I want you to put your hands way up. Okay. Now, you are a believer. I've heard your pastor quote it 4 or 5 times in the last 2 nights. These signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, now put your hands down. Now, the folks that have pain in your body, put your hands back up. Okay, you believers, turn around and see somebody that's got pain in their body. And I want you to go to them. This is so simple. I'm not trying to cheapen this. This is so simple. We do too much of our praying like, oh, God, just fix him and help him, man, Jesus, yet. Oh, that's so dumb. Look at the person and ask him what's wrong with him. Where is the pain? And you, if it's permissible, man and woman, permissible, lay your hand on the pain, whatever causing it. Command it to cease and desist. And wait a minute. See, you got to do 2 things when you pray for the sick. You got to command the sickness or the disease or the malfunction or dysfunction to be bound and to cease and desist. And then you have to release the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven into their body and command it to be. And then when we finish, we'll take inventory. We'll see how many people got helped. I don't want no liars. This ain't TV. I am not Benny Hinn. Do not lie. Nobody is helped by you saying, well, I think I'm a little bit. No, no, no. If you get a miracle, it'll happen instantaneous. If God chooses to use the gift of healing, it'll be restorative. It'll get better with time. Okay, are you ready? Everybody in the house, talk to the person. Find out where the pain is. Find out what the problem is. And look at them. And then just lay your hand on them. If you're allowed to touch the body part or something, fine. Command it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth to stop hurting. If there's something wrong with their back, lay your hand on their vertebrae or their spine or their neck. If they got a migraine headache, Shatalamohondoriete, Indalamohoto Ratalamaha, Shondoriete, Ilamosoto Ratalamaha. Speak to it and command it in the name of Jesus to leave. Command it to leave. You deaf? A little bit.